what a surprise when decades later the bamboo curtain parted and what we found was a vigorous, vital, growing underground church, now one of the largest churches in the world, a church forged in the white-hot fire of persecution. It turns out that things weren't actually out of control. They just weren't under our control. God was working his purposes out through other instruments and in surprising ways. So Jesus reassures them, hey, I'm the new CEO. And he says, and I am with you always to the end of the age. And that end of the age language, you hear that a lot in the Gospels. He doesn't mean I'm with you as long as you're alive or you're alive. He means I am with you and your descendants until human history comes to its rightful end with my return. Until that time when I do set all things right. And as Julian of Norwich says, and all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. I'm with you everywhere and all the time. So Jesus comes to his muddled, fearful, uncertain disciples. And he tells them, I'm with you. I'm the CEO. Don't be afraid. And then he gives them a job to do. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And, you know, now, which we had a snapshot or a little video of their faces when he says that. What? What is it you want us to do in the midst of our grief? While we're afraid? While we're getting pressure from the government that crucified you? What is it you want us to do? You want us to do something more than lick our wounds? You want us to go out and make disciples of those pig-eating Romans, those dirty Samaritans who desecrated our temple? You want us to make disciples out of them? That doesn't feel safe or right. Back in Matthew 10, the last time Jesus sends these guys out on a preaching mission, then he tells them, only go to your fellow Jews. Okay, that was comparatively easy. But this? Did we hear you right, Jesus? And while you're out making disciples, what does that mean? Well, he tells us about two components, baptizing and teaching. Okay, baptism. I really wish Paul had written, you know, in one of his letters, some nice, complete instructions about who we're supposed to baptize, how we're supposed to baptize them, and what it means theologically. But he didn't. Instead, we get this command to do it. We see throughout the book of Acts that it's normative, that people get baptized. But my, there is so much we can argue about when it comes to baptism, and there have been times in church history when that argument was fierce. But at the bottom line, whether you're an infant baptism advocate or a believer's baptism advocate, whether you immerse or you dunk or you sprinkle, we all recognize that it's a sacrament, at least those of us who think it's a sacrament of inclusion. It says, you are part of us. You are part of the family of faith. And you know, you can't do that keeping your distance from people. And then Jesus says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded. Well, not the way we talk in an egalitarian society, but I doubt that would have in any way surprised Jesus' friends, who most certainly were not in an egalitarian society. Teach others to obey everything I have commanded. So there's content. There's doctrine. You know, churches invest themselves in teaching the faith. Absolutely essential. But it's more than get the right knowledge in your head. It's obey what I have commanded. Because I bet, we have all met, maybe more than one person with great doctrine who's an utterly miserable human being that you don't actually want to be with, because they don't remind you of Jesus very much at all. Obey everything I have commanded. Love one another, forgive your enemies, serve one another in humility. It's not just doctrine, it's a whole transforming lifestyle. Well, Jesus' disciples are in a time of transition. The risen Christ has appeared before them. Apparently, he's not establishing himself as king of Israel right now. Things are going to be different. But he says to them, remember this, you're not alone. I am with you all the time, everywhere, and I'm in charge. And then he gives them a job to do. And these are words for us as well. And you here are in transition. Your pastor of, it looks like, 11 years, according to the sign at the back of the room, has moved on to a new calling. And you're going to be getting busy finding an interim, and then getting even busier trying to find a settled pastor. And there may be some feelings of uncertainty or a temptation to just sit back and wait for things to happen. But Jesus says, hey, I'm with you, and you have a job to do. Keep doing your job, because you're not alone in it.